How's that? Can you hear me now? If anybody would say that we would have communion to the house of the rising sun, sing Amazing Grace, I'd say it would never happen. But praise God that He allows us to share our hearts and change a song that is a song of great despair and great darkness to a song of great hope and great excitement. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we completed the 6-part series, and I'm not going to ask you to name each part, called Being What He Wants Us to Be as a Church and a People of God. And last week, Mike kind of put the icing on the cake and talked a little bit about God, humility, and that our hour has come. I certainly believe, and I think you do too, that our hour has come. That maybe it's time for us to get out of the boat and do some heavy walking on water. As we grow as a church, we're going to enlarge our family. And with that comes some growing pains. You may have to give up your pew seat. You may have to be with people of different social and economic standing. But in that, there's great joy in growing a family. And as Jim talks about his son adopting people in, I just can't wait till we have that time in which we can adopt more people in to the body of Christ. Do I have an amen for that? Oh, you're listening. That's great. So I'm starting a 3-part series, and it's called The People We Will Meet. And that's to prepare ourselves for ministry as well as church growth. I got this Seussian title from the Dr. Seuss book, Oh, the Places You'll Go. And one of my favorite quotes is from this book, and it says this. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. But be sure when you step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. The scripture according to Dr. Seuss. We will meet many strange birds. But you know what? We're pretty strange ourselves, aren't we? And meeting people is not very easy. That is, unless you hear their story. And what is their story? For instance, you may be mad at the homeless in the street until you find out that he lost a wife and child in an automobile accident many years ago. Or that he fought a valiant war and lost friends in battle. We may be mad at a teenager that's walking the street and doing the things he ought not to do until we hear a story of abusive parents, both physical and sexual. We might be mad at a neighbor because of his actions or inactions and many things until you find out that he's dying of emphysema and has 2 years to live. Meeting new people is not always easy. Until you hear their story. And many times a person's past influences how they act in life. So you know, everyone has a story. And that's the title of the sermon today. Because we're going to talk about the story of the woman at the well. And a scripture reading comes from John chapter 4, verse 4 through 26. But before we begin, ready for this? Y'all ready for this? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to hear a life-changing story from the Word of God. It's time to hear a life-changing story from the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Again, turn to your Bibles, John chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask of you that you bring this message to us, that we learn the story of the woman at the well. And after we learn the story, we have more compassion and empathy for those that we meet along the way, and that we'll be able to minister to them and to reach out to them and bring them into a saving knowledge of you. With that, Lord, I ask that you will open hearts and ears to hear your word and your message, that you will use me as a vessel, that you will speak through me, and it be your words and not mine. And I will be humble enough to accept those and be able to pour those words out to your people. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We read in these verses, verse 4 through 26, Christ really reaching out to the people of God and really reaching out to the lost. In verse 4, there's something amazing there because it says, that now he had to go to Samaria. Had to go to Samaria. What does that mean? Had to go to Samaria. Yes, Samaria was a direct shot. It was where he was going. He was going to Galilee from Judea. It would be natural for him to go there. But it wasn't the only route. It was not the only route to get to Galilee from Judea. There were other routes. Matter of fact, the Orthodox Jews took the other routes. And why did they do that? Because they despised the Samaritan. They despised the Samaritans. Who here has a bad opinion about a Samaritan? Nobody. Do you know why? Because we remember the parable of what? The Good Samaritan. And it seems awkward that the Jews would bypass the Samaritans. But you know what that parable was about? The parable was about a man that was robbed and that was hurt. And a Jewish priest went by and did nothing. And a Levite, somebody who performs the rituals in the church, walked by and did nothing. And a Samaritan stopped and gave the person aid. And Jesus said, which one was his brother? He was making a point to them because they hated the Samaritans. It made the selection tough for them. Because it was somebody that was outside their sphere, outside of their neighborhood, that they had to say, he was a good guy, the people in the church were the bad guys. That was what was happening here in Jesus being sent by the Father, by his Father, to the Samaritans. He was being sent. Because none of the other Jews would go there. The Samaritans were a mixture of the Jewish race and Gentiles. And they had kind of mixed religions. And they worshiped on Mount Gerizim. Well, of course, we know the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And to the Jews, that was a big deal. To even go through Samaria and even talk to a Samaritan would be an unclean act. But here you had Jesus that had to go through Samaria because he had a purpose. He had to go to a nation of the outcast. So he came to the town, and he came to a plot of land that was given to Jacob, to his son Joseph. So where he was at Jacob's well, which had such significance to the Jews. Because, of course, Jacob was a father of Israel. And this well was a deep, deep well. And it was known throughout the nation because it always had fresh water. It always had bubbling water in it. And it was always cold, fresh, and refreshing. And it was a sixth hour that he went there. And sixth hour, at that time, was what time? You all know this. Noon. We have biblical scholars over here. Amen. It was noontime. So he went to a place of outcast. He went to the well at an odd hour. He was tired and he sat at the well at an odd hour. Why was that? Because there was a young lady that was an outcast of outcasts, that he was to be there to minister to. So number one, Christ reached out. Number one, Christ went where the Father sent him. And number two, he initiated a conversation with this lady. The Samaritan woman came to be beside him. And this was very unusual for a woman to visit the well alone. So you know that she was there for some reason, because most of the ladies went there in the mornings. You know the reason, as we read on the story. The reason was she was ridiculed by the other ladies. She was really an outcast of the outcast. Does that make sense? An outcast of the outcast. she probably would be the only woman that would go to the well at noon, because it would be a quiet place and nobody else would be there except for Jesus. It's here where Jesus initiated a conversation. He initiated a conversation. And all he had to say was this: will you give me a drink? That's all he had to say. By saying that, he broke two taboos. Two taboos. Number one, he spoke to a Samaritan. And number two, he spoke to a woman without having men around him. Two taboos. And wouldn't you know it, that instantly the woman understood that. The woman at the well understood that. She says, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" She wasn't questioning her ability to get him a drink. She was saying, "Why would you even talk to me? My own people won't talk to me. Why would you do that? Why would you do that?" He initiated the conversation. And Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You know, to a Samaritan woman, that just meant, you know, just water. It had no spiritual sense to her at that point. Jesus was offering the water in a spiritual sense, because he knew her inner need and her thirst. And she questioned it. She said, "Well, you know, is your water greater than Jacob's well, which is a famous well with cold, refreshing water?" Thinking that, well, if I drink this, whatever water he has, I won't have to come back to this well, and I won't have to be embarrassed. I won't have to show my face when people hate me and ridicule me. But Jesus said, "Anyone who drinks from the well will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give them will thirst no more." And she said, "Give me this water. Give me this water, because I don't want to come back to these people. Give me this water." Number one, he went where God sent him. Number two, he initiated a conversation. Number three, he knew her story. Because now it was a time of confrontation that Jesus had to step forward. And Jesus, being Jesus, knew everything about this woman. And he said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. You know, there's a deeper, much deeper story that was revealed in just that question. Plus, he revealed to her, "You've been married 5 times. And the man that you're living with now is not your husband." There are some people that say, and most theologians say, well, Jesus was pointing out her sin to convict her. I say, Jesus was pointing out her need so that she won't sin. Why was he talking to her about thirst? Why was he talking about him providing living water? Because in these three short verses, we found out the deeper meaning of why she was going to other men. And that is, she was thirsting for love and affection. She was searching for that love and affection and attention that 5 men and 1 boyfriend could not give to her. And he was offering her himself. a personal relationship, not a sexual relationship, but a personal relationship of a person who will unconditionally love her, an outcast of all the outcasts, unconditionally love her and bring him in as a father would a daughter. He knew that if she would accept that, she wouldn't have that thirst anymore. She wouldn't be running to every man around to gain that acceptance. And you know, she was in that death spiral because the more men she chased, the more the village hated her. Because with five men and one that she's staying with in a small village, what would happen in Calumet? What label would she have in Calumet? Harlot. So the more she wanted love and acceptance, the less she got. Because she lost the respect of the whole town. And he was offering this living water. This living water that will sustain her forever. And that lead her to an eternal relationship. And that's what he says, eternal, eternal relationship. She knew there had to be something more than failed marriages and failed relationships. There had to be something out there to satisfy that hole in her, wanting that love and wanting that acceptance. He went where the Father sent him. He initiated a conversation. He knew her story. And last, finally revealed himself to her. But you know, with all people that you present the gospel to, and you know this over and over again, they change the subject because pow, the need is revealed and you're embarrassed and you want to change the subject. And she does. She goes from this relationship problem to a religion situation. Isn't scripture wonderful? Because this happens to us every time we talk to somebody. Because she changes the subject. She takes a detour. She says, "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." First, she didn't want to accept. She wanted to change the subject. She wanted to talk about religion. Okay, let's talk about religions now. You know, let's talk about ritual. Let's talk about the church that I attend. And then he says, "A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." The place where they worship separated the Jews and the Samaritans. Isn't that interesting? And she comes back to the argument. You know, we all have that. The argument of religion, the religious argument, you know. You know, those doctrines. Once saved, always saved. Maybe your predestination. All those things. Skipping the need. Skipping the thirst. Skipping the relationship that Christ wants with us. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, forget about the temple. Forget about Mount Gerizim. Let's talk about relationship here. Let's talk about you and me. "A time is coming and has now come when a true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth." No mountains, no temples, no religion, but a spiritual relationship based on the truth of God's word. Listen to that. It's a spiritual relationship. A personal spiritual relationship with Almighty God that's based on God's Word. A relationship that does satisfy our thirst for acceptance and love. At this point, the woman knew something was happening here because now she went to the relational route. She said, I know the Messiah is coming. And he's going to tell us all things. I think at that point it dawned on her who this man was. I think at that point her questioning, like, maybe this is it. Maybe the Messiah is here. Maybe this is what I've been hunting for. Maybe this is what I've been hunting for. And Jesus says, yeah, the guy you're talking to, I'm that guy. I'm that guy. He revealed himself to her in such a simple way. And in such a simple demonstration of talking about water and talking about the thirst that we have for love and acceptance. Dear church, if you want a model on how we're going to reach out to the lost, this is it. This is it. We need to go where God sends us. You know, we need to be ready if he sends us to the outcasts of outcasts. Yet we need to be sensitive to God's leading, which means I don't want you to go outside this church and knock on everybody's door and give them the gospel. I want God to lead you to do that. Does that make sense? I want you to have that urge that you had to go to somebody. That you had to go because God was telling you to go. Not to go to get a notch on the church gun. Be ready to go wherever he sends you. And whatever time he sends you. 24/7. God works 24/7. I thought I was the only one who did that. It's God. He works 24/7. Be ready to break, get this, get ready to break cultural, gender, racial, social, and religious barriers. And whatever you do, give God's love in action and deed. Number two, initiate the conversation. Initiate the conversation. It's good water. You can drink it. Don't be afraid of initiating a conversation with people that are different than us. Don't be afraid. Then the initiation may be as simple as, will you give me a drink of water? Then listen and wait on God. And if that doesn't work, you listen and you wait on God. If that doesn't work, you listen and you wait on God. And you be ready to offer wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And you offer God's love in action and in deed. Get to know their story. Because behind the story is where the hurt is. Jesus could have spent all the time talking about sin, sin, sin. He didn't. He talked about a relationship, relationship, relationship. He went to the source. He didn't go to the action. Does that make sense? He went to the source of the sin. He didn't go right to the explanation of how bad they are. He went to the source. What caused them to do that? Know their story. Understand their story. Understand what makes them outcasts of outcasts. And be available to the Holy Spirit. Be available, Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. You know? And above all, give them love in action and in deed. Last, and one thing that's very, very important is this. And that is, there will be a point in time where you have to reveal Christ to them. Otherwise, you're just having a conversation. But it's in God's timing, not yours. It might be in the sixth hour. It could be in the seventh hour. It could be in the eighth hour. But be prepared. Understand that they may talk about religion and say, well, I go to confession all the time, but do you know Jesus? Well, it doesn't matter. I go and I, you know, I help to do math. I help to, but do you know Jesus? We're not talking about religion here. We're talking about a knowledge of Him. Offer them a relationship with Christ. Offer them the unconditional love of Christ. We Christians are great about talking about this love, but are we ready to go to the outcasts of outcasts to reveal to people who Christ is? Reveal Jesus as their personal Savior. Reveal the finished work of the cross to people, saying that their sins are taken away. Reveal that to them so they have a good understanding of who this person is. And above all, give them love in deeds and in action. And here's the rest of the story. Verse 28, 29. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Leaving her water jug. Why would she leave her water jug? Because she didn't need it anymore. She had the living water that's eternal. She didn't need that water jug anymore. She didn't need to go to the well ashamed. And not only that, she told her story about him telling her story. The hour has come for all of us to ask people their story. The hour has come for us to go where God sends us, for us to initiate the conversation, for us to step out, for us to know their story, and certainly for us to reveal Jesus Christ to you. Is it scary? Absolutely. But guess what? They may be waiting for you to do this. I'm going to show this clip, and I want you to listen to it and pay close attention to it.